We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you. This is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast brought to you here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We are representing the saints at Merritt Assembly of God and those enterprises that help us fund this radio program. Today, we'd like to tell you about Advanced Christian Training Schools. We tell you about them just about every Tuesday. That way, we give you an opportunity to plan and adjust your schedule. Tonight, they will be meeting in our fellowship hall from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And I was just talking to one of our board members today. He's been going to those classes, and he's just been telling me about how wonderful, the conversation took place a little while ago, but he has been attending the classes, and he's just been telling me how wonderful they are. And so if you would like to avail yourself of these free training classes, Tuesday night, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., in the Fellowship Hall at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. So we just want to take a moment and say thank you to everyone who is listening. You don't know how encouraging it is when we hear from you, whether it's directly or indirectly. And it is just an encouragement. We're thankful for the Word of God and being able to bring this Word to you on a regular basis. So if you would like to be part of our prayer team, I do solicit your prayers. I am not as young as I used to be. I am as busy as I have ever been. And I would greatly appreciate you praying for us, that God would give us wisdom, that God would give us the resources, the vision that we need, the laborers that we need, the Word of God that He would have us to speak. So I solicit your prayers. And if you would like to help us by praying for us, if you would contact us either at email, meritassembly@hotmail.com, all one word, lowercase, or you could reach us by at the answering machine, 454-4263. Or if you'd like to reach us by mail, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. Whether you make a donation or not, that's beside the point. But we'd like to send you a little coffee mug that says Merritt Assembly of God on one side, Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs on the other side. And that way, every time you see it, it can remind you to pray for us. And we'd greatly, greatly appreciate your prayers. I use this method. I don't use a coffee mug that much, but there are certain people that every time I see something that reminds me of them, I use that as the trigger to remind me to pray for them. And so may this coffee mug be that trigger for you to help you to remember to pray for Merritt Assembly of God. So I want to take you to the Word of God this morning. We're going to be in Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. In the Lord's Prayer, we are to the point in that prayer where it says, lead us not into temptation. And so we are dealing right now with God's leadership. How does God go about and lead us? And first of all, I will tell you, God does not lead us into temptation. God leads us in righteousness for His namesake. That's where we were yesterday in Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. So I want to take you, I'm going to read the 63rd chapter of Isaiah today, and then we will touch on God's leadership as well. It says, indeed, verse number one, who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I really, really like that particular verse right there. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. The blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Actually, that's plural, loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their Savior, and all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they might not stumble? As a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see from your habitation, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your strength, the yearning of your heart and your mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless you are our Father. Though Abraham was ignorant of us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. O Lord, why have you made us stray from your ways and hardened our heart from your fear? Return for your servant's sake. The tribes of your inheritance, your holy people, have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down your sanctuary. We have become like those of old, over whom you never ruled, those who were never called by your name. That was Isaiah 63. So, first of all, let's look at God's leadership here in this passage. There are some really powerful truths. I mean, there are a lot of truths. I really like the traveling and the greatness of his strength. He identifies, I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. God's ability to save is tremendously mighty. I like down in verse number 4 where it says, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. Hallelujah. That is a great verse because, with Easter just recently having occurred, resurrection, a reality, the year of the redeemed, that is a prolonged season of days. I don't want to limit that to just 365 days. A year is actually determined by how long it takes for a planet Earth to go all the way in one orbit around the sun. But Mercury's year is shorter than our year. Venus's year is shorter than our year. Mars is longer, and the further you get away, those planets, it takes a much longer time. For them, a year is a considerable length of time. And so I want to ask you today, how long is a year? How long is it going to take you to make a complete circuit all the way around the existence of an omnipresent, omnipotent God who has no limits, no boundaries? And so I want you to know that because you and I are the redeemed of the Lord, it has brought us into a whole new dimension of life. When God speaks that now the year of my redeemed has come, it means that our life is going to be forever altered at that point. It goes on, it says, I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered, and there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury, it sustained me. You may be in a situation right now where you are looking for assistance, you are looking for an ally, and there may not be a physical one that you can find. You know, I've been pretty creative through the years, and when I've been working by myself as to finding some way to accomplish it, when it would have been a lot easier if there had just been somebody there with me. I want you to know that God is God all by himself. He is looking for us to partner with him in his endeavor of redeeming the souls of mankind. He is looking for people who will be there to help him. But if he cannot find somebody to help, that does not mean he's not going to be able to accomplish it. He is God all by himself. With just one word, he can liberate the captive. With just one word, he heals the sick. With just one word, he overpowers the enemy. He's God all by himself. And so I'm very thankful that he is working for us. In verse number 7, it says, "And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses." That means that God's limitless ability to pour out love, he wants to deal with us according to his mercies and his loving kindnesses. That's the way that God, that is his preferred method of dealing with mankind, is through his mercy. He says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. He prefers dealing with loving kindnesses, and it tells in verse number 8, "For surely they are my people, children who will not lie." So he became their Savior. Jesus became our Savior because of his mercy and because he loves us, his unconditional love for you and I. Praise the Lord. After dealing with them and all of that, walking through their afflictions with them, it says in verse number 9, let me just read verse 9. "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old." Do you get that? When you and I are his children and we're walking with him as our Savior, it says that he bore them and he carried them every single day. Today, God is sustaining you. He is sustaining me. Thank God. If you don't mind, could I just take a moment myself here on the radio? I just want to thank God for the fact that he is sustaining me. Father, I do want to thank you. God, you know the responsibilities, you know the afflictions, you know everything that we go through. And God, I just want to thank you right now that every day of my life, you have been carrying me. I just want to give you praise right now for bearing my burdens, bearing with my shortcomings and my grief. God, I just want to thank you. Lord, not that there's any, I mean, I'm having a wonderful day today, but I just want to thank you that you have carried me and sustained me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse number 10, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. You know, grieving the Holy Spirit is not something that's just talked about in the Old Testament. It is also talked about in the New Testament. And here it says, in the New Testament, we're admonished not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Here in the Old Testament, we are instructed how that process begins to take place, and it begins when we rebel against the word and the direction of God. I want to ask you right now, do you think, as you look around at America, when you look up, at the laws that we have in America, where you look at the way that we are conducting our day-to-day activities, When you look at the evidence, do you see us as a nation aligned with the Word of God, or do you see us as a nation in rebellion to the Word of God? I'm not going to tell you the answer. I'm just asking you to look at it. Because to be honest with you, your perspective and my perspective, they are just that, perspectives. What really matters is what does God see when He looks at us? Does He see a nation of people? When He looks at our church, does He see a church of people who are in love with His ordinances and His commands? Or does He see a people who are in rebellion? Because here is the thing. When we rebel, it grieves His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, who He's God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When we rebel, that does not compute with His mission of revealing Jesus Christ, who takes us and reconciles us to our holy Heavenly Father. Rebellion is not a kingdom of God mindset. I'm going to say that again. Rebellion is not a kingdom of God mindset. It is a kingdom of hell, a kingdom of darkness mindset. Rebellion is not of God. Rebellion against the word of God is straight from the pits of hell. I do not want to be known as a person in rebellion. It says, so He turned Himself against them as an enemy and He fought them. Now, let's look at what it talks about here in leadership. He said, then He remembered the days of old, Moses and His people, saying, where is He who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of His flock? Where is He who put His Holy Spirit within them? Okay, so first of all, He is going to bring you up out of that most assured event of destruction. You know, when the Red Sea was there and Pharaoh's army was on the other side, they had lost all hope. But God brought them up out of that sea. He brought them out victorious where it destroyed other people. Right now, there are people who are listening to this broadcast. You are alive. You are alive today because of the mercy of God. You have friends, you have relatives, you have neighbors, people you went to school with, that some of the things that you have gone through, it killed them. It was more than they could bear up under. And so I just want to encourage you today that God wants to bring you out, but He wants to bring us out for a specific purpose. We're going to get to that. It says, and when He brought them out, He put His Holy Spirit within them. The Holy Spirit is not the part of the Godhead that we just avail ourselves of when we come to church on Sunday. The Scripture says that we are to walk with the Spirit. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. Thank God that God wants to lead us from our midst instead of leading us kind of at a distance or leading us blind. He leads us from, it says He led them by the right hand of Moses. When you think of that, I want you to realize that what He is talking about is by the teachings that God gave Moses. That was the way that He was leading them. It is true that Moses was their leader. It is true that He prayed for them, He interceded, and that Joshua was raised up. It is very important to have things in order the way that God wants them. But God gave the people of Israel instruction through Moses that would lead them well beyond Moses' lifestyle. or when Moses' life ended. And so I'm very thankful. He led them. It says, with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make for himself an everlasting name. Take note of that right there, because it's very important. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they might not stumble. I want to begin to talk to you right now that one of the reasons we need God to lead us is because when God leads us, we are not going to stumble, we are not going to fall, we are not going to fail, we're not going to be in temptation. He is going to lead us by him, personally, he's going to lead us. He's going to lead us by his Holy Spirit, and he leads us so that we will be successful on our journey. Okay? Even where others stumbled, we will not. You know, that is my prayer. You know, as for me, I think I've told you this before. I am not here aspiring for fame in the kingdom of God, because I have seen a lot of people that when it becomes about their fame, that it can be a stumbling problem. I am here to make the name of Jesus known. And it said in verse number 12, I told you to take note of it, to make for himself an everlasting name. Would it surprise you if I told you today that God wants you to know his name, and it is from everlasting to everlasting? It is the name Jesus. It is the name that is above every name. God has exalted his word and his name above all things. It is a powerful name, and he wants to lead us through by the name of Jesus so that you and I might not stumble. Verse number 14, as a beast goes down into the valley and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. As the beast goes down into the valley and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. I encourage you to go ahead and continue to study Isaiah 63. It's a great chapter. But this is the part that I want to focus on. God leads us not only to make himself an everlasting name, but that God's name would be made glorious. That God's name would be made glorious, filled with glory. And he describes the process of how that is accomplished. It says, as a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest. I have been called a very driven individual. That was a staff member who said you are somebody that he worked with. So tell me about Pastor Bob. And he said, he is a very driven individual. But God has a supernatural rest for his people. Jesus called the disciples to come apart with him and rest. And when I was studying for this, I had a picture. I'm from cattle country, and cows have multiple stomachs. And, you know, what they would do is after they had eaten, they would go out and they would lay down in the pasture, and they would just sit there, and they would bring up the things that they had already consumed, and they would bring up and they would just start chewing the cud, so to speak. They were going through the digestive process all over again. You know, not one time have I ever seen one of those cows looking guilty for resting and meditating or reprocessing the things that they had already received. When was the last time that you took your pastor's message and you just said, you know what, I'm just going to meditate on that for a while? I think I'm going to study. I'm just going to position myself here in the rest of the Lord. It says that the Spirit of the Lord causes us to rest. And here we are in a society, you know, cities are advertised, the city that never sleeps. It's 24/7. You know, the things that happen here stay here. That's baloney, by the way. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you know, I'm really looking for a people that I can lead, and I can lead to a place of rest where they can process and they can dwell on the goodness and the loving kindnesses of God, where they can focus on my mercy and my grace, and they will come to a greater appreciation. And it says, in that same manner, that's what the word so means, in that same manner, just like that, it was actually called a simile when I was in English class. It means that just, you know, very in a similar process, so God leads his people. God leads us. His leadership is not always something that we are doing. Sometimes we are in the place of rest where we are processing and applying. You know, if all of our knowledge about God stays as head knowledge and we never learn to apply it to our life, we're missing out. We're missing out. And so I encourage you, don't miss the rest that God has for you. As much as I'm a driven individual, I do like my rest. You know what I'm doing this week? I am resting in the Lord. I am a part for a season of rest. And so I encourage you to do the same. You say, well, how are we ever going to get anything done? I want you to see what the end result is in verse number 14. So you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name, not just an everlasting name, but a glorious name. God wants to make his name glorious through you and through me. He wants to make his name glorious by leading you and leading me. And so my action thought for the day, if you will, my PowerPoint for the day, whatever you want to call it, is this. Are you allowing God to lead you? And if so, how glorious is his name becoming in your sphere of influence? God not only wants to lead us to where we don't stumble, but he wants to make his name glorious through you. Are we allowing him to lead us so that his name is made glorious? His name's already glorious. It's everlasting. It's known. Demons hear it and tremble. Praise God. But he also wants to cause his name to be on glorious demonstration in your life and my life. Heavenly Father, I just pray for people right now. God, there may be people who are going through afflictions. And I pray, God, that you would lead them out of that valley, out of that season, and you would lead them victoriously. God, I pray that there would not be any rebellion in our hearts to where we are grieving you. But Lord, instead, we would recognize the precious gift you have placed of yourself within our community to lead us to that place of rest. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that the name of Jesus, the everlasting name, would be made glorious in every man and every woman listening to my voice right now. To God be the glory. Great things he's done. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.